Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And this is Carl Carlson. Hey, Fred.
Hey, Carl.
How you doing?
Yeah, doing good. We were talking about earlier, we wanted to talk about presenting skills, and all of my bad experiences is with a conference committee giving me feedback on my slides or my presentation draft and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to go there. And I was trying to think of, you know, what's a good way to talk about presentation skills in 20 minutes when it really could be a whole week course with lots of interaction and feedback. And I've been in those courses, and so I've learned a lot that way. And it's, let's just suffice it to say, it's not about your slides. It really isn't. You can make it worse with your slides or your overheads or your foils, as I used to call them. But you will notice that TED Talks often do not have any visuals, or if they do, it's very few. And those are excellent presentations. So I'm thinking too much of what we learn in engineering is you need to make a slide deck that is quasi the full report. And that doesn't help anybody at all, ever, in my opinion. But
it is so... It's a subject that needs to be learned. It wasn't natural to me to present. Mm-hmm. It was unnatural because in my engineering background and my technical background and my inclination is to be detailed and thorough, and which is can be extremely boring to be that way. And in presenting, your goal is to convey knowledge.
Or convince,
or convince, yeah, or influence.
There's mm-hmm. other reasons for doing it, but by and large, you're right. It's usually a body, some kind of knowledge or insights you have, or proposal that you're trying to convey.
And you make a good point. It's more than convey. You're trying to influence. You're trying to change the audience in some way, mm-hmm. and that is not done by a slide. That is not done by words. That's done by a performance of conveying information in an interesting and informative way, and it takes practice and preparation. There's a body of knowledge in it, and it can be learned. That I can tell you that from my own experience. I was a terrible presenter, and then I got better at it and better at it a lot by listening to feedback.
Yeah, no, I agree. You're very, very good, and it's presenting. I think performance is not exactly the right word. I think there's a bit of empathy and I mean, one of the things I learned early on in the basics type stuff is, well, who's your audience? You know, and then what's the objective? What are you trying to do? And so you go, all right, I'm talking to somebody that doesn't know anything about statistics. And they have very limited use or background in it. And I'm trying to convince them to do something that it's heavy in statistics, right? So I don't just start with the integration of the formula and all the other, you know, graduate level stuff and then throw up this complicated chart saying, see, it's obvious. That just won't work. And vice versa. I only have 5 minutes, so I'm not going to give them a master's degree on how to understand statistics. So then you look at, well, what's your objective? What are you trying to do? And you're trying to say the work you were doing actually made a difference. We can see it in this statistics, in the data. Well, how do I convey that so it's clear to somebody mm-hmm. without a statistics background, right? And then you start building your presentation, and then you start building your story that creates the connection to the understanding, why it's important, what do they learn from it. And I like doing presentations where it's basically praising somebody for doing a really good job. Those are fun to do. And I think they enjoy it more than a presentation saying we're going to do mass layoffs next week and here's why. That's usually not a fun presentation to do.
Right. Yeah. Well, okay. So first of all, I agree that performance is not the right word. What I'm looking for is you want to convey information and influence the audience, the receivers. That's the kind of summary of what you're trying to do. But I think of Stephen Covey, and he says, begin with the end in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I agree with you completely. When you're preparing a presentation, you want to know your audience, and then you want to know your message and hone your message, beginning with the end. What's the end result? What do you want people to understand and change in their awareness? How do you want to influence them? That kind of thing.
Yeah. And a simple example is that, let's say you're asked to compare the vendor offerings for power supplies for two different vendors, and you're doing a reliability study on them, and you're presenting the end of it. Now, you're not the one making that decision, but in the presentation I was asked to take a look at these two vendors and the reliability performance of that. And we do have a clear edge on this, and there's some trade-offs. And the end of this presentation, you'll have more information to be able to decide which way you want to go. It's setting them up. So this is the information you asked for to make a decision. And the vendor A is better on reliability aspects and they cost more. And then here's the details. And sometimes it's two sentences and then they start asking questions. And one of my favorite things I ever ran into a presentation, I think it was at a conference, and somebody asked a question and he said, that is a really good question. And it's a tactic I've seen before to give you space to think about, as a presenter, space to think about, well, how do I address this question?
You're also making a connection with that person in the audience.
Right. And she looked puzzled. What do you mean that's a good question? And he goes, let me explain. It's a good question because I happen to know the answer and I can answer that question. And a great question is, not only do I know how to answer that question, it's the next slide. I was going to talk about that anyway.
Right.
We all just started laughing. And then somebody stood up and says, what makes a bad question? When I have no idea to, and I'll have to get back to you later. kind of thing. But it was just a bit of humor, listening to the audience, pausing to collect your thoughts using, yeah, that's a good question. Let me think about that. It just means I'm not going to bark out an answer at you and hope it's right. It's a question I am going to respect and give you an honest answer on it. And
very, very good.
But it's a presentation technique of, one, know your audience, but two is listen to your audience. If you can see an audience drift away or not listen, or everybody pulls their phones or laptops out and they're off someplace else in the world, or they just get up and leave, or they're engaged, leaning forward in their seats, asking questions, encouraging you, nodding their head, doing stuff like that. You can get feedback, like we've talked recently about, by paying attention to your audience and reacting to how they interact with you.
I often, and there's so much to this, and we could go on for a long time but just summarizing a few bullets that come to mind with me. I do always want to prepare. It doesn't have to be arduous preparation, but as we've talked about here today, you want to know your audience. That's part of preparation. You want to have your message well thought out, so it's mm-hmm. simple and clear, and you know where you want to go with it. And then when you're conducting the presentation, some of the points that come to mind with me is, do not read your slides. That is a death knell for people that do that and losing your audience. And so that's part of preparation, is you have to know, you might take a glance for like 1 second of the slide, and then you turn to the audience and you look at them and you convey the summary of what that slide is trying to say. in words that are nice and clear. I do like interactivity, and I know you do too, Fred.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I start out a presentation, I will get to know the audience. I'd raise your hand if you've had, you know, whatever. And taking questions either at a specified time or during the presentation, whatever fits right, and getting some degree of interactivity. I like to look at my audience. So I want to make a connection, no matter how big the audience is. I try to make a connection with the people in the very back of the room, the people off at the sides, and to reach them, and they actually smile when you look at them.
Yep.
And they feel like they're involved. I also try on every message I have to find something in my personal life that I'm passionate about. And so I convey this message of the slide or the message with something from a personal interest and personal passion point of view. So these are some of the things that off the top of my mind that are part of being a good presenter. It's not just going through the motions. It's digging down deep and why it matters to you. What are you trying to convey? Why does it make a difference? And trying to essentially reach people and influence them.
Yeah, it's one of the best references I ever ran across is by Nancy Durante. I think that's how she pronounces her name. And she's a presentation coach, consultant type person. And I think her studio became really famous when I think it was the Mac Air introduction, or maybe it was the iPhone introduction.
Mm.
She was the one behind Jobs coaching them how to do the presentation. I think it was the Mac Air as an example that she used. And I don't know if it was the first time she worked with them or not, but that's the level of coaching she was doing for what we see as just amazing presenters. Their preparation was they hired a consultant to get it and to nail the presentation. And she also worked with Al Gore when he was doing the Inconvenient Truth presentations around the world.
Mm-hmm.
She was behind that. And so it was pacing, it was building suspense and relieving it and building more suspense and relieving it. And it was a very detailed, you know, scripted out, you know, pacing and everything else. And Jobs is an excellent presenter. He's very relaxed. He's, you know, things don't work and he deals with it and so on. But she's got a handful of books out that are assuming you already know the basics, that you're a good presenter to start with. But if you really want to make a difference, and one of the things, what you reminded me of is that dig deep in your personal stuff is there's nothing wrong with having a portfolio of things that you're passionate about and have good stories or anecdotes about that you could use that are 10 seconds long or maybe 2 minutes long. And to reinforce or set the stage or to hook an audience into, you know, what's the rest of that story? How does this pan out? Kind of things. It makes it real. If I just tell you the 8 steps I use to solve this problem, and then on step 8, part A, section 2, then we got into the laboratory. You know, now, if you tell it more like a detective story, you know, at first it was really confusing. We had these, you know, symptoms that were just not consistent, and it was seemed to be intermittent, and it was, you know, we knew this was going to be a challenge, and we tried that, and then somebody, you know, Sarah looked at it and said, aha, you know, if we do this, we see the problem, and I can see it on the oscilloscope, you know. It's a whole different story than first we did step A, then we did step
B. Oh, I know, which puts people to sleep. And of course, you and I have done a podcast on stories. So if you're a listener and want to learn more about how to bring in stories to your presentations, that's an option as well to listen to that. One of the preparation steps that comes to mind, Fred, is, because this is a little story here, is, I won't name names, but it's somebody that is well known, is doing a class, teaching a class, that I was taking. And you get partway through, almost all the way through, maybe three quarters, and they go, oh, I'm behind now. I'm going to go through the rest of it really fast.
Yeah.
And they're just blistering.
Blazering along. Yeah.
Yeah. And the lesson I learned from that, the takeaway for me, is practice the timing of your presentation so you can be relaxed, hit the main messages, but don't provide too much information, where you have to talk too fast.
And leave room for questions. Leave room for, you know, interaction. Leave room for, you know, the dialogue that is so important in conveying information or making a point or, you know, providing a proposal, anything. Cut everything except what's essential to get your message across, and then practice it. Get the timing right. And then realize that sometimes you think you got 20 minutes and they say, oh, we only have 3 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to do a 20-minute presentation in 3 minutes. What's the main point? If you have that clear, done.
It's so respectful of people too, because the audience picks it up, the respecting their time. You're not going to run over time, and you're respecting time to get your presentation done. So if there's questions at the end, there is time. That's respectful of people. So I think it's so important, the timing of the message. Otherwise, people are going to tune out. They'll be opening up their cell phones and working.
Or just moving on to their next project. Yeah, right. Next, they get this shepherd's hook out there and pull you off the stage. Now, there's so much to it. And I think we talked briefly about gestures and pacing and voice modulation and storytelling and the interactivity parts of it. You know, one of the things we missed on this whole thing, though, is you'd have to breathe.
You gotta look relaxed and be there.
And to do that is take a deep breath. Yeah. Really, it really makes a difference. And one of the things I spot is what separates good presenters from really good, really excellent presenters is they are, you know, here's point A, and they pause and they take a breath.
Right.
And they're checking out the audience. What's the status there? What am I going to say next? You know, and then I'll start again. Whereas you can tell when somebody's nervous, they're just ripping through it. No dead air. It's not a radio station. We can see you. You can take a breath. You can hold. If you just need to take a breath for a moment, just put your hand up like a little stop sign and say, I'm gonna break eye contact with the audience. And I'm thinking about that. You don't have to say it. It's obvious you're taking a pause and then step back into it. But other things matter is body posture, where you stand on the stage when you're presenting, when you're taking questions, they should be two different places. Gestures that convey an entity outside the room, a third point that's not here, another agent, like when you're telling a story about your grandmother, you can wave over at my grandmother's house and look over that way. Now you've created the cottage in the woods over there for your grandmother's house for the audience with an appropriate gesture. So I'm just flying over a handful of things I've learned over the years, but it goes to your original point, Carl, is you can learn this.
You can pay
attention to it. And Durante is an excellent set of references for building great presentations. And there's a handful of other stuff in the book. I think of all the references that we put on the soft skills, I think the presenting one had the longest list. there's all kinds of good stuff in there.
So there's just a couple other quick points, and then we'll wrap this up and ask for feedback from the audience. The body language you can read. So if you're presenting to an audience that's live, you can actually sense, are they getting it? Are you talking too fast, slow? Do you need to make any adjustments just by watching them? Mm-hmm. You can tell if they're paying attention. And so that's something that I suggest to people is to read and see your audience. Make sure they are getting the messages that you're conveying. And another point that's a little disrelated, but I wanted to mention it, which is be careful of humor. If you're good at it, that's great. But you want to know what your audience is, because things that are funny in one culture are not necessarily funny in another.
Yeah.
And so you want to be really sure that you know your audience and then practice your humor. I remember one time I thought of a Yogi Berra joke, which is kind of funny, but, and I thought, and I got midway and then I forgot the joke. I didn't practice it well enough and then I forgot. So I couldn't get the punchline. So if you do it, you want to be sure you can take it through and get the right result.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's, I find storytelling is easier because it's stuff that's real life. I might change the names to protect the innocent, but it's
yeah.
The
but it's, yeah, that's yeah, not it's, a bad idea. I've made that mistake of not changing the name. Well, yeah, I mean,
or vice versa too, and like, but it's there are literally dozens and dozens of things, and I don't mean to say it's impossible. There are great presenters in the world and they have had feedback and coaching and input and study and practice and practice and practice. And you can practice presenting, standing at the coffee station, talking to your colleague. It's a discussion.
Or any room by yourself.
Or any room by yourself. Or get on Zoom with a friend or a family mm-hmm. member. In front of a mirror, videotape yourself if you're brave enough to look at it again later. I've never been one that want to go do that. Yet it's pick something. It might be just gestures. It might be just body posture. It might be just pacing. It might be engage, getting more questions throughout the presentation. Pick yeah. one or two things and work on that. The core is know your audience. You know, have a clear message in mind what you're trying to do and make it clear in your presentation and so on and so on. There's a lot of basics. The advanced stuff takes you from good to great. And I think it's in the book, we cover both topics, the basic stuff just you have to do. And then the things that just put polish on it.
One more quick thing is if you're doing a remote presentation, which happens a fair bit nowadays, mm-hmm. I'll just a very short story. The largest audience I've ever done was somewhere about 850 people. It went to a very large company. And I did a hour and a half tutorial with them. And I thought ahead of time, and I'd practiced my tutorial. I really knew it. But mm-hmm. I wanted to connect with people. I wanted to keep people engaged. So I just baked in over and over that I want to hear from everyone here. Everyone, I want at least one question. I gave them my email address, and I want, you know, one question about the material from you. And I just kept reminding him that. And by the end, we had time for a few questions, but not much. I got
not all 600,
hundreds and hundreds of emails of people that, because it helped them pay attention, and yep. they had to stay interested enough to be able to formulate a question. That's just a small tip to keep people engaged, even if it's remote.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. Yeah. Then you spent the next 2 weeks answering questions.
Oh, right? It was off. I mean, it was, let's say I was busy.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was actually quite fun to do that.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. No, it's there's a lot to it. And I think the bottom line is you can do it. It is possible. And you can get to the point where you enjoy presenting. It's not a burden anymore. It's because you know enough. Although there is, if you really learn how to present well, it's painful to watch somebody that doesn't know what they're doing.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes.
So there is a downside.
Some of the early RAMs that I attended years ago where people put these complex slides that you can't read.
Yeah, read, and then they try to read it to you, and then that was even worse. They're like, okay.
So there's so much to this subject. We'd love to hear from you. What are your experiences on presenting? What would you like to know about? How can we help you become better presenters by some of the topics that we do on podcasting? We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, certainly would. And you can do that over at ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. There's a couple of ways to get in touch with us. Carl and I and the other hosts are available through LinkedIn and our about pages. And if you want us to do a presentation for your organization, please contact our agent at 555 throw an ad there. Don't do that.
Very good. Good way to round it off.
There you go. Thanks, Carl. And we'll talk to you soon, and we'll see what kind of feedback we get on this one and questions.
Very, very good, Fred. I enjoyed talking with you.
Yeah. Take care, Carl. Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.